office on the bus down to Cork. Mm-hmm. 3 years of attending UCC, and that's my first bus ride down to Cork. So yeah. I was a bit of a loss coming up to do. This is called As One. Just kind of changing very quickly, as I think the best poems do. As One. Adieu, you souvenir and tremulous vestige of love that loved and damned, wrapped in loss and a moment of passage through the suppliants of royal brothel. Here the evening is cast upon the pyre of the morning glow, for I that gazed that often cried, I come to you anon. Nevermore hath flesh belied the want that in heart belongs, as was ours that dwelt within, eternal of the fiery sun. Supernally bound to silence and kin, furtively looking to evening's dawn, through meadow and pasture of secret sin, forever enraptured with the gale we run, now as one.
Thank you, Sean. And next up, we have the maestro from Cork and Sherry from the Storytelling Festival, Bob Jennings.
Thank you very much. I merely scalded myself in the shower this evening. It's too hot. You know how the tanks heat up in the attic? I'm rising down my shower. I burned my backside. I was glad I wasn't facing the shower. I had burned my face. And I thought about Agden Nash, short blog he wrote, I test my bath before I sit, and am always moved to wonderment that what chills the finger not a bit is so frigid on the fundament. Little poem I wrote about primroses one time. I was 16 years of age to the day, the evening I met her. She was picking primroses by the railway embankment. I was on my way to kick football with the lads. Hold my bunch of primroses, she said, while I reach for better ones. I held her primroses, and she held my hand. She held it longer than was necessary. And I thinking of the lads waiting for me to kick football. As she reached up for the better primroses, her foot slipped, and she slid into my arms. She remained there longer than was necessary. And I, still thinking of the lads waiting for me to kick football. I heard birds singing and bees buzzing and an orchestra playing an anthem for a lost boy footballer. It was twilight when I reached the football pitch. It was too late to play a match. What kept you, they said. Primroses, I said. What? Primroses? Yes, primroses. It was too late to play a match. We just had a few kicks. I think I scored a goal. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. And next up, we have another first-timer to avail. It's Mose Jakob. Jakob.
Yeah, it is Mose Jakob, but I call myself Mose Jacobs. I'm actually from Amsterdam, Holland, but I've been living here for 13 years in the most beautiful country on earth. Come on now, if you want. To me, poetry is, a mystery sometimes. I'm going to read three poems, if you don't mind. The first one is called The Sleeping. I do not suffer from mental disorders with exotic names, but I can still distinguish various personalities inside my head, where I address myself as I. Get up. I yell imperiously, but I continue to sprawl about. Do your work. I then shout silently, but my eyes stay glued to my totally fatuous book and I read on. At night, I argue in front of the TV. I want to go out, but part of me is asleep. And the others, inside my head, are eagerly watching anything that moves on screen, however nonsensical. Likewise, I can well imagine that slumbering inside me are a murderer, adulterers, a traitor of people, a seller of bargains, a prostitute, and or a head nurse. Folk whom I do not know, but who can wake up at any moment as circumstances change. Okay, the next poem is dedicated to a garment that we found near the River Pantan. Maybe it was not just the shirt of his back that fell by the wayside. From truck to the ground, from caterpillar to post. Perhaps on a hot day, he tore it up to celebrate the imminent growing of wings, rejoicing that he was about to take off, an airy emperor. It could have been a layer of protection against the gathering storm, or worse. Its demise is a sign of sheer indifference. The last poem I wrote after I traveled down to Cork, and it was in December 2009. It's called Epiphany on a Bus. A sweet, soulful voice, as pure and sensuous as a mother can be, thinks of a little baby, an only son. As a wrinkled nature goddess from faraway Yorkshire talks about hairdressers to her mobile phone. At the wheel, Mr. Spock steers us with his masterly hand through West Cork in the glorious December sunshine. And for one brief moment, the firmament opens to include peace on earth. Until two diabolical faces stare up, demons caught on camera after their murderous act. Back to business as usual. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosa. Next up, it would be total stranger for the veil, Jennifer Matthews.
Woo!
Oh my God. So I'm not going to read one of my own. I'd rather read something by Eileen Sheehan in honor of Noel, because she's one of the poets that he publishes under Doghouse. I read this book that she's just put out down in the Sunlit Hall, and it's fabulous. I really recommend to anyone to get it. This is the poem that touched me the most of the whole collection. But maybe you can help me with the title, Living in Surreal with
Alois.
I'm putting too much of a French thing on it.
It was the Christian name of Professor Alzheimer, who discovered Alzheimer's disease.
Okay. So living in the surreal with Alois. My mother knocks on the side of her head, still active inside her, still vital. Her need to blame, her need to name, to explain away the confusion she wakes to. My mother makes a tight, knuckled knot of her hand, knocks on the side of her head. It's in there, she says, the tumor.
red and hard, the size of my fist. It makes me forget. They told me it's in there, deep in my brain, with the yolk and the egg. They can't get it out without killing me. Do you think that they will kill me? It makes me forget why I can't forget that it's there. Why can't I forget to forget? She knocks on the side of her head as if someone might answer, as if someone might open the door to her brain. She knocks and knocks, but nobody's home. She's even forgotten my name. I am a visitor. I am the one to complain to. I am the one who is helpless as she knocks on the side of her head. I imagine the lump she imagines inside of her head. I imagine it shrinking. She knocks on the side of her head and it falls at her ear. Rolls like a marble. Look, I tell her, it's gone. It fell out of your ear. Rolled under the table. The table got ate by a cat. She left. Was it gray? No, I say it was black. Black as the darkness, black as the devil. A right bad lot, but he swallowed it up. Then he swallowed a rat, and she laughs. I remember she says it was black, black as the darkness. But he swallowed it up, and she sleeps. I untangle her fingers, smooth out her hand, and she sleeps, and I drive through the rain, through the nighttime. And the hedgerow disgorges a cat that stands in the glare of the headlights, and I stop to salute him, to grant him a safe passage home. Thanks.
Thanks, Jen. It's a great poem. Next up, we have Sue Cosgrove.
Hey.
Woo!
Thanks, Paul. We were just talking earlier about Dribble. I'm not sure this is a poem or Dribble, or Dribble version of the poem. It was written about a year ago in response to a play about a girl celebrating her 15th birthday in a car park, getting drunk with a friend, and things happen. And it's called Trolleyed.
Oh, yeah.
No path is steep that leads to a friend. Yeah, like. And she's like a babe in a basket, and trolleyed Moses such things as a friendship, or... So she thought. This is where we see desire and stitch her. Desire for what? Does she even know? Sweet 16, exhalations and intakes of breath. Desire liquefies all this slime, even friendship more so than anything else. Makes you ponder. Everyone's been there, done that, but it's huge, like sweet 16 had never been. There she goes, trolling you with epigraphs, a litany, incantation, and fires like eggs, as strong, as sweet, as useless, as pure fucking gunk. The world is empty at its core. Savoring the taste of nothingness, she fingers darkness, takes her tips to the ink of lies, and then she falls. A quick talk, a quick twig, a quick shank, a quick fix. Who's there to keep score? In few central old goals, oppression, advantage, suppression, devotion, up from love and wandering, implausible motives, bugger all in the end, but even tainted friendship. Where is she now, tomorrow and day after, 50 years from now, unraveled and fish shattered ship that scrolls and taken graffiti walls, with an incantation, with an epigraph, with a litany, on the rasping tongue of the world. This world buys, this world sells.
Thank you, Sue. Next, could we please have Mr. John Bracken?
Woo! I occasionally walk around the lot for it to walk around, as I'm sure some of you do as well. And on the recent Sunday up there, I put these few words of rhyme together. God, a visit to the lock. It was a pleasant Sunday afternoon, just after 2 o'clock. As the sun did shine over Cork's so fine, so I headed to the lock. The scene there was fantastic, in that haven by the lake, where folk of all ages, young and old, took a welcome leisure break. The activity there was great and varied, as some jogged fast and some walked slow. Around the path by the lake they circled, locals and visitors going to and fro. Others relaxed on the seats by the water, and the children in their super playground had great fun on the swings, spices and sea salts. There was laughter and happiness all around. The swans swam around there so gracefully, while the ducks greeted folk with a quack. And the geese, if you ventured too near them, softly hissed just to keep you right back. There were seagulls all the way from the ocean, and some pigeons found food on the ground. There were signs there which said, "Do not feed the boys bread, but small quantities of lettuce or cabbage instead." So here's to one of the gems of Cork, which rivals London or New York. It's the place to where the folk do flock, affectionately known to us as the Lock.
Thank you, John. Next, we have please Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Paul. This one's called Praise and Encouragement. I still don't know what irony is. Some ignition in the velvet dark has a time sometimes to flare up and flicker away and flicker into decay. Into a pissed off flip top blaze a twist with poor memories and dirty tricks. I reach across at a flick of a switch. The cork sits up alive again. Blowing fuses at the scorching light, I know it would pay well for me to get up right now and make a cup of tea, return and pretend something has never happened. Praise and encouragement reaching over, switching off into a fabric stillness. Then to fall for all that into bedtime. This is what perfection is. This one's called Action by Design. It's a simple division, moving from city to city. Two people becoming unstuck, how strange it is. It feels as though you never existed. Having dug deep into trenches, there is a hibernation sense from contact by any means. All this, and you haven't even gone a week. Hibernating is not even autumn. I sit at home and rest as ordered. I sit and mourn dressed in black, but he's not dead. So then I think, who's I? It's a simple division that causes no explosion.
Thanks, Patricia. And to end our open mic this evening, we have Mary O'Connor.
Thanks, Paul. This is called Operation, but it's one of those things where the anaesthetic doesn't quite take. Operation. A routine procedure, they said. Nothing to worry about. Lying drowsy on the bed, I feel the roughness of the gown chafe against my skin. Trolley squeaks and rumbles towards the theatre. My head grows light. Till is doing the trick. In no time, I'll be drifting out of it. Arc lights catch the metal rim of his glasses as he bends, making passes with the syringe, the final push to put me under. Voices loud and raucous. Is it over already? My lids stay shut. Sharp, searing pain. What's this? Steel forces my jaws apart. Hard pincers down the throat. I'm not asleep. Fear wipes me cold. I have to let them know. A finger, an eyelid. No use. I'm locked away. Sheathed and bound in a tomb of green fabric. Roughly they pull and poke, plunge into my gullet. A welcome wave of blackness. Falling. Falling.